12-year-old now. So Jesus would say, hey, I'm a Muslim. Is that right?
All right. You know what you've been taught. I'm not talking to first timers. I'm talking to you. You've heard this before. And you know a Muslim means one who submits his will to the will of God. And by doing so, he brings himself into peace within himself. And then he's able to bring peace to others because he himself is at peace. Is that right? All right. So why you don't want Islam? They say some Arabs enslaved us too. Well, why don't you give up Christianity? The ones I'm talking to are those who want to keep Christianity among us. So if some Arabs enslave you too, we don't know about those some Arabs, but we all know about those many Caucasian Christians that enslaved us. And we know that they don't have nothing in the history of no people's enslavement to equal the cruelty, the insanity that we see in the treatment of our people under Christian slave masters. Now, if you don't want Islam because you heard some Arabs had some part in your enslavement, why in the world are you still with your Christian mind?
Right.
No, you are a lying black devil hypocrite.
Right.
You just still a complete tool of graphic mentality. You hate originality in yourself. You don't want to see no original so-called Negro. You want the same old artificial thing to stay here. You will fight Islam, you will lie and sneak in among us and pretend to be a Muslim, to turn some child around in our midst, or to turn some weak grown up around in our midst,
yes,
so they'll do anything but be Muslim. Chief Minister's dad, he's bad. Divine mind. That's where it's at, brother. That's where it's at. Divine mind. And right out the other corner of your mouth, you tearing down Islam. Islam is here to stay. Let's look at society now from the ground up and see what we have. Society grows up from two people. A man and a woman, they meet. They have children. These children have children. Pretty soon, there's a big family of relatives from just two people, a man and a woman. Now, this big family, they need more protection than they needed when there was just father and mother and the first children. They need to preserve their knowledge so that the newcomers will have something to go on. They need to build up their community strong so it will survive bad climate, bad weather, wild beasts. So they build up and they build up and they build up. They grow to be a big tribe. Fighting the hot environment to keep themselves surviving. Preserving all that they can so the tribe will be strong. Is that right? Preserving their knowledge, preserving their wealth, everything that they can use, that they can, they try to preserve it so the tribe will grow and continue to grow strong.
Right.
If they run into another tribe, either by venturing out themselves or some other venturing tribe might visit their land. Now they have another problem if they don't agree, meet each other in peace and agree. Now they have to try to protect what they have from another tribe. Is that right? So wherein they have, before this coming in contact with a strange tribe, they probably had nothing but laws for a family. Laws of how you should marry, who you should marry, what you should do, how you provide for each other and whatnot. But now here's a strange tribe coming up. They need other laws now to protect what they have from another tribe that might take everything they got. Is that right? So you see, society starts with two people, and as the people grow, they need more society. They need more law. They need more organization. They need greater discipline. They need more unity. More cooperation.
Yes,
they need stronger leadership.
Yes,
the bigger the people grow, the stronger leadership they need.
Yes,
the more cooperation they need.
Yes,
the more unity they need.
Yes,
because if they don't have these things, an outsider will take everything they got. So this is how society comes up, brother and sister. Society is no mystery. It's no mystery. Now let me go to the scripture now. The book talks about, in the beginning of Genesis, two kinds of water that were formed. One was the earthly water, sea water, that had salt. So he formed the seas, is that right? And the other water was the heavenly water, the rain. And it says that he separated the water, the earthly water, from the heavenly water. Is that right? All right. Let's take a look at this now. And see what this scripture is telling us. Telling us this. That salt water is not revealed to prophets. Salt water is on earth. Always has been on earth. God made it with the earth so the people could have it. Now keep listening.
Yes.
Salt water. Salt water is the nature of water on earth. God didn't have to bring it out of heaven. It's already in the earth. No people had to be taught, thou shalt not kill, by a revelation from a prophet. No people had to be taught, thou shalt not steal, with a revelation from a prophet. The growing of human beings into big families and into tribes make you automatically see the need to have a law to protect each other.
That's right. That's
you don't need no God to blow out of the sky and say, thou shalt not kill. Give no 10 commandments out of the sky, brother and sister. These commandments are commandments that you have naturally already in your own nature.
That's right.
You know, once your society grows big and you got people forming little cliques together, this one competing with that one, this one trying to become stronger than that one, you have to have laws to protect them from killing each other. You have to have laws to protect them from robbing each other. You have to have laws to protect them from enslaving each other, and on and on. Is that right?
That's right.
Society itself have that in his nature. And as the society grows and these needs increase, the people automatically see the need, and they bring about the law. God didn't have to reveal that. But he had to reveal that you should have but one God. He had to reveal that. And that you should love your God and have no other God before him. Now that commandment he had to reveal. Okay, let's go on with this. What does salt in the water stand for? It stands for discipline. It stands for moral discipline. Does God have to teach people how to discipline themselves morally? You go to the most backward tribes, and they have love for their children. And they teach their children to love and respect the leaders of the tribe, to love and respect each other. They didn't have to have no prophet to teach them that. So this moral teaching that discipline them, tell them don't do this, do that, that comes natural in people. That's the salt in the water. A lot of people don't like salt, right? You know, you don't drink seawater. It's too salty. We don't like it. Well, most people don't like to be told when they're wrong. You see? When they're wrong, they don't want to be told they're wrong. So we don't like to hear this moral discipline when we are morally out of order or wrong. Is that right? So the book, the wise of the book, they describe that kind of teaching as salt water. It doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. It serves a lot of good purposes. The salt water, it kills the germs. It cleans the germs, and it has healing in it. Old people used to put salt on certain wounds to draw out the pores. Is that right? You see? So the old people, they discovered long time ago that the salt, it cleans, it fights germs. So it's a good thing. So they said the salt in our moral nature is law, commandment, discipline that keep us from doing wrong. That's the salt. You see? All right. Are we talking about society? Now the book says that there's another kind of water that comes from above. It's not salty. It's sweet. Tastes good. That's divine revelation. You follow me? Okay, keep your mind on it now. The water that God gives is divine revelation. He reveals it to the prophet. This water is not salty. It's sweet. You say, well, God revealed that you thou shalt not kill. But that water, he wasn't revealing any heavenly water. He was revealing earthly water that the people had let go recognizing. They had stopped recognizing the salt water. They had stopped observing the use of the salt water or the moral discipline. So God had to come back and remind them that you should not do these things that you're doing. Is that right? You should take this bitter pill so that you will be corrected, so that your ways will be made right. Okay, but it didn't come from heaven. It was something already in the people that God had to show to them that they had become blind to, or that they had ignored intentionally, maybe. But that water that comes from heaven, nobody knows it until God reveals it. And what is that? The knowledge that God is the very base of everything. That God is the reality and the very base of everything. And that he's not many, but only one. And that he's as much in the reach of one person as he is in the reach of the other. This kind of knowledge here has to be revealed to people. no matter how good you are. You can't come to that knowledge without God revealing it to you. You will think that this thing is a God, that thing is a God. With effort and struggling and faith that there is a God still beyond what I'm looking at, you will gradually come to the right God. And when you come to it, you will know that you didn't make it by yourself, that you didn't have the power to come to this knowledge by yourself. You will know that a hand, an invisible hand, led you to the truth.
Yes, sir.
And that invisible hand we call God. Is that right? Okay. So there are some things that God has to reveal to us, and that is pure worship. People can't come into pure worship without Allah's help. Pure worship can only come by Allah giving you help. He has to guide you to it. But just social laws to govern society, we can come into that naturally because Allah has put it into our nature, and He has made the human beings so when they come together, problems come about, and they already have in their own nature the ability and the knowledge of how to deal with these things.
That's right.
And they will deal with them.
Right.
So there's two kinds of water, salt water and sweet water. Now look what the book says. We're talking about society now. The book says, in the end of time, the beast, the dragon, will be in the lake. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, he starts in the sea as a little small monster. But in the end of time, he's in the lake as a full-grown monster. What is lake? Lake is sweet water. Lake water is not salty. So what does that tell us? Tell us this. That don't look for the great monster. Don't look for the chief enemy of God and truth in societies that are not led or are ruled by religion. Those people who just go by their own laws, government laws, politics. Don't look for the chief enemy in them, among them. He won't be in the salt water. Look for him in the lake. Look for him in that body of people that claim to have theirs from heaven. All right. Let's see what the book says now. It says that the beast had set himself up as God. Had set himself up as the Most High God. And that he, and the Revelation says that he saw the beast in the lake. Is that right? Now let's go back to what the Christians say. Talking to you Christians who hide among us and want to turn us to Christianity. Want to send out our little innocent brothers and sisters to churches. Send them back to Christianity. Talking to you. What does the book say? The book says that Jesus, this is the New Testament, teaching on Jesus, not Jesus himself. Jesus didn't say this. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it.
Right.
I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. See, he came to fulfill it.
Right.
In other words, fulfill it means I come to live it.
Right.
You have had it, but you haven't lived it. Now, I didn't come to destroy it. I come to live the law and the prophecy. Okay, but there's a teaching in the Old Testament that says something about law that Jesus himself didn't say and demonstrate. Says that the law was of no effect. So Jesus came to destroy the law. That it is not by law now that you are converted. but by faith. Is that right? This is a teaching in the New Testament. And what does the church preach? It preaches that you can become a Christian simply by saying you believe in Christ. Is that right? You don't have to stop drinking. You don't have to stop lying and beating and conniving. You don't have to stop fornicating and committing adultery. Just say you believe in Christ and you're a Christian, right? Now, if that's not what they believe in, then let us look at their world and see what it is that they believe in. Okay, in Christian Europe and in Christian America, we find more lies, more theft, more adultery, more fornication, more sex perversion, more human brutality than we find in any other part of the world. So this tells us that these people are not just preaching that you don't have to have any law in your life, that you don't have to follow any discipline. Stop Christian literature. They use the Bible. They use Jesus. They use the cross. They use everything. They pretend to be holy, faithful servants of Jesus. Is that right? But look at the evil they advocate against so-called black people or against so-called Negroes. This is what we have in Christianity. This is sweet water. No more salt in it. No more protection from your enemy. No more thou shalt not kill to protect you. No more thou shalt not lie to protect us. No more thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's property to protect us. Thieves and murderers and cruel, fattest beasts are just let loose on the world under the name of Christianity. This is what you have. Is this what you want to take our Muslims to? What's wrong with you crazy people? A beast can establish himself in that kind of lake. No law to contain him. No law to keep him from growing into a mighty beast. So he grew and grew and grew into a great monster in the church. The lake that the book says will be turned into a lake of fire in the end of time. Is that right? All praise due to Allah. Now I'm burning it up, but you don't want to help me burn it. Almighty God has blessed us with the power to set the whole lake afire. The book says that there was a certain so-called righteous society that was fooling the people. And one came and said, let me show you what's in this wicked society.
That's right.
Brought him up to the gates of the city. They see the wickedness these people are doing? Led him on up to the holy place. They see the wickedness these people are doing? Then he led him into the secret chamber. Into the sanctuary.
Right.
Sanctuary means the secret chamber for the holies of holies.
Right.
And he said, you see what they're doing here? The work of all abominations is in this sanctuary. That's telling us what was going to happen to this so-called Judaic and Christian society.
Yes,
that in the end of time, the worst of all filth will be right in the very sanctuary of the church. So it says that the old beast would be in the lake of fire. And that description of that society that would become, come up on earth says that it was so corrupt, they called it the abomination of desolation. Not only abominable, but its abomination is so great that if it survives, it's going to make desolate the whole order. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. We have lived to see that come true. The abomination of this false religion they call Christianity grew and grew and grew until it corrupted the society so much that the government order began to shake with an earthquake. The White House was seen as a den for thieves, liars, murderers. Is that right? The abomination grew so much that it shook the foundation of the institutions of learning in Europe and in America. Turned Ivy League college students into beatniks, ape and monkey looking people, wearing funky sneakers and long hair, eating wild roots and wild berries and killing cats. And eating skinned cats and eating alley cats. This is what we have lived to see, brothers and sisters. Honorable and mighty President of the United States, who used to stand up and command the respect and attention of the whole world, stand up now and is no more than a labor union boss standing up. Sons of high government officials being arrested for possession of drugs. This is what we have lived to see. Keep listening, brothers and sisters. We have lived to see the educators throw up their hands on TV that we don't have any answers. The book didn't say he'll come and get them and bring them down while they are yet in their glory. He said, I'll let my enemy spill all of his weapons in war against me. And when he ain't got nothing else to throw against me and just lying there, not even having a muscle to raise, completely helpless, then I'll come in. And look at him and say, well, I guess it's my day now. You can't throw anything. You can't raise your hand. You can't open your mouth. You can't even open your eyes. You're telling the world you can't even see anymore. He said that he'll let him spin out all of his L. Then he's gonna, he's gonna spin out all his L's against them. That's a boss that know he's boss. He let his challenger do everything he can before he even do anything. Let him do everything and just exhaust himself and drop down to the ground helpless. Then he come up and just let go of all his arrows in it. Shoot, shoot, shoot. Go ahead, Steve. Not that
they have to shoot him to kill him. He's dead already. But he had to shoot him to bring about a jubilee all over the world. Because there are a lot of people that ain't satisfied with just seeing him come to an end. They want to see God fire all his weapons into his body. So the poor suffering saints, God has to serve their need too. So after the beast fall helpless, then God come and spit all his arrows into him. So the saints will have a mighty jubilee all over the earth. Praise you to Allah. So, brothers and sisters, my dear sisters and brothers, many of you have a wrong understanding about the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, peace be on him. Many of you think that he completed it all. He did everything. Left nothing else to do. Many of you think that the beast and everything, all was finished. Nothing is to come but God. So God will come after all of Elijah Muhammad, and he will be with his God. So you expect for all of Elijah Muhammad to come back alive,
right,
physically, and walk with Master Farad physically, and that they're going to take you and a few others Puritans, self-righteous hypocrites, hold up, going to take you and a few other like you that can see the moat in everybody else's eye but can't see the moat in your own. And that God is going to burn up Chicago, burn up New York, gonna burn up the United States, and you're gonna go away somewhere with Master Farad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in a spaceship. A spaceship with 1,500 World War I bombing planes on it. I'm telling you what a lot of you got on your mind. And I wouldn't talk about you if you didn't need talking about. As much as I've been preaching, the patience that I've taken to try to reach every one of you, ain't no excuse for you holding on to that old darkness. Come about. Excuse me for talking to you like this, but it takes this kind of talk to get you up. You expect for a casket lid to come open. And a dead, physically dead person to get up and come and speak to you again. And he taught you to not to believe in old spookyism. Then there's some golf snakes around here. Who want to enslave my people. Now these that have accepted me, you are my people. Because I tell you, you don't have to cover your hair all the time. You don't have to wear a one robe all the time. You don't have to eat one meal a day. I tell you these things. I tell you, I think. I say you don't have to sell 300 papers and leave your baby home snotty and crying and naked. To treat your relatives ugly that haven't come into this body just because they don't say they are Muslim. I tell you, you should try to keep your family together as much as possible. I tell you that you don't have to go around with your jaw sunken in, fasting 7 days, getting all ashy and pale looking, and you were born black. To be ashamed. Let me tell you, brother and sister, I tell you that you don't have to be ashamed if you're black and kinky hair. I tell you that your kinky hair is just worth as much in beauty and in physical durability and in strength and in health as any straight-haired person. I tell you that you don't have to walk around feeling the same because you are light and look close to a Caucasian. That as long as your heart is original, you are as real original as anybody else. All praises to Allah. Brother and sister, my dear sister and brother, believe me, I love you. And if I didn't love you, God wouldn't have chosen me to do this job. I tell you, I say, you don't have to bow and scratch your head to another Muslim brother or sister just because they got a position over you. All praise to Allah. Thank you, thank you. I say you should be righteous. I say you should stop lying. I tell you, you should stop beating each other and tricking each other. I tell you that you shouldn't desire to enslave and mistreat each other. That you should stop abusing each other. I tell you that you shouldn't fornicate and commit adultery. I tell you, you shouldn't gamble. I tell you, you shouldn't drink alcohol. You shouldn't intoxicate your mind that Almighty God has made to function as a clear operating machine. Is that right? But at the same time, I tell you, I don't care if you committed adultery last night. I don't care if you robbed last night or this morning. If you want to hear me, you are welcome as much as anybody else. Much light. See, I took that we only had the light on the first floor.
Yeah.
I went upstairs and turned the light on in the attic. And turned the light on in the cellar. Then went to every room and closet and opened all the doors and turned all the lights on. Pulled back the curtains, pulled up all the covers so the light could get out of the bed, took the mattress off the bed. Dresser drawer. Went into the jewelry box. Left the lid up off the jewelry box. They don't want light everywhere. But Almighty God has given me the power, and I'm going to keep the light burning everywhere. The truth hurts the guilty. Do you think Almighty God would have picked me if I was one to hide any truth? No! I told you this is the finale. The curtain is pulled back all the way off the stage, and everyone into the act must come forward and be seen. Water, keep some black slaves around. They pretend that they love Master Elijah Muhammad so much. Those who want to keep a little bedroom corrupting going. They claim they love Almighty Elijah Muhammad so much. Those who want to collect money and have nobody but them count it. Elijah Muhammad so much.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve. Come on. Go ahead, Steve. He's not here. He's not here physically to answer to all this mess. If he was here, he would tell you. If anybody here is not anxious to follow W.D. Muhammad,
that's right.
Wallace D. Muhammad, they ain't fit for nothing. Hold up. Hold up. to do to Allah. Never before have I told you this. But I think now it's time to tell you this. The Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, peace be on him, he hadn't seen me come into this glory. Just seeing a little bit of me before he passed. He told his personal aide, who was sitting in his presence, he said, that's the kind I wish I was like him. Now, that's what he said. He said, I wish I was like him. Now, I know some of you, that's too much for your mind. How do you think I felt? I was sitting at the table when he said this.
Yes, sir.